Hey, and welcome to the Healthy Fit Live podcast. I'm your host, Paul Hanton. So today we'll be talking to Martin Sharp, who is a multi-award-winning international consultant, coach, speaker, and author. Since 1993, Martin has specialized in transforming busy and overweight business owners and consultants into being fitter, happier, and more confident. Today we'll be discussing how to fit fitness in your life when you're also focused on your career. And if you're a fan of the show, please remember to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. And to leave a review if you enjoyed listening. All right, Martin, thank you for hopping on my show. I really appreciate it. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic and getting better by the day.
Awesome. So before we get started, why don't you give a quick introduction on what you do and who you help?
Yeah, certainly. So my name is Martin Sharp. I work with some amazing entrepreneurs and business owners and coaches that are really looking to improve their health, fitness, and lifestyle because they've kind of got into a position where, you know, the business that they're working with really isn't helping them. And, you know, it's something that is kind of a growing kind of issue with that. And that's why I'm kind of here to help them with.
Awesome. That's fantastic. And I'm really excited to talk about this because that is, like you said, a growing issue. But let's talk about why that happens. So people who are very focused on their career and they're very successful in their career. And we talked about your backstory a little bit previously, but what leads someone that is really successful in their career and focused on their family to just let their health go? Like what causes that or what leads to that?
Well, I think in many cases, certainly with a lot of the people I've been working with, it's not a conscious decision. It kind of is something that just creeps upon them. Right. So it's those little decisions that you make. You know, you prioritize the business above your own health. You prioritize your family above your own health. All those little things that kind of then add up. And then you wake up suddenly and realize, oh, hang on, I've just put on 10 stone, you know, 100 pounds or something. Yeah,
and I think you brought up a really good point that people suddenly wake up and have this realization about, oh, crap, I look this way. So at what point in your life did you have that? What led to that realization for you? Like what caused that for you to have that realization that you need to make a change?
Yeah, but for me, it was actually on holiday with my wife and my mum, et cetera, over in Florida. And we had a fantastic holiday. When we're in the Universal Studios waiting to get on the Incredible Hulk ride, I was denied access. I couldn't take my kids on the ride because I was just too big. The guy was trying his hardest to get me in the seat, but I just couldn't fit me. And that really was one of the biggest wake-up calls. But probably the one that really slapped me in the face was a photograph my mum took on that holiday of me and my wife. And literally, I had boobs bigger than my wife's boobs. And I thought, what on earth have I done to myself? You know, it was only 5 years prior. I was kind of doing triathlons and running and doing canoe slalom and things. So it wasn't what I was used to.
Yeah. And I think you probably have a lot of clients who have the same issue, right? They wake up one day, look in the mirror and they go, wow, this is not who I want to be or who I was. How do you help someone who comes to you and says, hey, you know, I haven't been focusing on my health, but I'm still really busy with work and my career and my family. What do I do?
Okay, so there's kind of six key areas that I found that you need to work on, especially as being a business owner or entrepreneur or a really busy consultant. And when you kind of focus on those six areas, then straight away you start to make progress. Now the first area to me is where you start is in the mindset. Because once you've kind of got your mindset right, then all of a sudden things start to slip into place quite nicely. And it really starts by looking at your values. People will only ever do things for the top three values that they have. And normally what they'll find is that those values kind of get skewed because they think they're doing the right thing for them by denying themselves. But sometimes you have to be selfish to be selfless.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, for a lot of the people I've been working with, it's once they kind of understand what their values are, they very quickly can change. For me, it was just knowing that my values are I love my family very much. I love spending time with my friends and I love spending time with my clients. They really test me and push me. And actually knowing that with the kind of illnesses that were in my family, if I hadn't made the change, then the reality is all three of those would be impacted. I wouldn't be able to do the work that I did. I certainly wouldn't be able to spend as much time doing crazy adventures with my friends. And actually the worst ones would be my family that would be impacted because, you know, they'd have to take care of me more than anything else. When you work with different clients, they all have very similar themes. So one of the chaps I worked with, it was an international project manager, did massive multi-million pound changes around the world. But found he'd swapped his like 9 to 5 Monday to Friday for a 5 till 9, 7 days a week, because it's all online now. And that meant that he was getting quite snappy with his children and things. Mm-hmm. And he suddenly kind of realized actually that's not who he wanted to be. He wanted to be the father that was playing with them. And once he kind of made those tweaks in his lifestyle and his mindset, he put himself first and he made sure I made those things happen. And one of the best things I ever saw was the text message you sent through, and he says, "I've just done the monkey bars with my boys." And he was, like, he was just so happy.
Yeah. So in that example, you mentioned that he started to put himself first. And I think for a lot of people, that's hard because they have a family, and you know, you obviously care very much about your family, and that's obviously a priority. Then you have your career. That's obviously a priority as well. So how do you help people go from, okay, you know, I have all these priorities in my life, but I need to put my health first or myself first.
So this is kind of looking at the opposite side of what your goals would be. So you've probably got a goal of being fit and healthy and being able to have longevity and spend the time with the kids, etc., which are all really worthwhile goals. But actually, what's the pain? Because people are motivated more by pain than they are by gain.
Right.
Where's the pain in that statement? And then the pain is actually then starting to look at it and say, well, as your body starts to deteriorate, then what longevity have you got? What quality of life do you have with your children? How are you going to be able to support them? How are you going to be supporting your friends, your clients, whatever it is, really? And then once you start to associate those items together, then people very quickly start to then change and think, actually, every time I'm going to do something that takes me or deviates me away from where I want to go, I just remember those pain points. And there was a lovely lady that I was working with. She had just come out of a really bad relationship. And she had same kind of things, which she was going through the menopause. She was finding she was tired all the time. She was sleeping on her dad's sofa and things when she went down to see him on an afternoon and things. But by associating the fact that actually she didn't want to feel like that, and she wanted to be there to support her aging parents and things and the rest of her family, and she wanted to support her children and stuff, and she wouldn't be able to do that if that's the way her body was going, then it suddenly gave her motivation. So, you know, those days when it's dark, windy, cold, yuck, you know, those things that people just don't want to go do things, all of a sudden it made it easier. And same with things like, for example, looking at what she was eating or when she was going to take rest, etc., to make sure she got that in moderation.
Yeah, I think that's a great point when you brought up kids and families. You know, obviously, they're a priority, but you also want to make sure that you're the best version of yourself as well for them. And so you use your family as an extra bit of motivation, right? Where you can say, okay, I need to be the best version of myself. I want to make sure I'm healthy for them. I want to stick around for as long as I can. And I think that's really powerful, right? Having your family as a way to kind of motivate yourself, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And then it's not just family. It's because it's unique to everybody. So it's what really drives you. One of the chaps I was working with, he coaches Olympic gold medalists and things in the coaching psychology side of it. And he was really struggling with his weight. And again, it was the key thing for him was, how could he help people of that caliber if actually he looked the way that he did look?
Right.
For him, it was a case of he didn't feel congruent to be able to work with that caliber of client, even though he was getting fantastic results for them. Now, he's gone through that transformation. He feels absolutely amazing. He looks amazing. And, you know, and he's still getting amazing results for, you know, these top Olympic type athletes. So it's a win-win type of scenario there. But it's keying into those things that are specific to people.
Let's go to some actual strategies that people can implement. So you've worked with a lot of clients who are very busy, very successful, but very busy, and you yourself to have, you know, come from a business background and very busy in your life. So what are some specific strategies or tips that people can do if they want to also implement fitness into their nutrition training, into their very busy life, without obviously dropping their career or their family?
Yeah, the first thing I find with a lot of busy people is if most of them will run from their diary. So once they've kind of got everything in their planner, their schedule, whatever they're going to run it becomes really easy. So it's then saying, okay, well, put everything into your diary. You know, not just the times, though, for example, that you're going to go and exercise or going to take movement of some kind, but everything. You know, your times that you're going to be doing your meals, the times that you're going to be doing your preparation for your meals, the times that you're going to put down for recovery and stuff, you know, the downtimes and things.
Right.
And almost treat those as the boulders in your life.
Right.
And then once you've kind of got those in place, you know, we know schedules change, we know things are going to happen, but then what would you do in a normal business situation? If you still had that deadline to happen, all you would do is reschedule things around it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, okay, you might not be able to go for your run at 6 o'clock this morning because you're speaking with guys over in Australia or something. Mm-hmm. Do it at 6 o'clock in the evening. Or I'll move it to the next day, whatever it is, but keep that kind of goal and objective in place. I know where the wriggle room is. Again, a lot of people, when they come and start off, they've got this thing where everything's got to be 100% or nothing. You know, you've got to nail every single thing, you know. And the body doesn't work like that. You know, it's got this allowance of tolerance. So, you know, aim to get 90% right. Because if 90% right is better than where you are at the moment and take the stress out of it, because you don't need more stress in your life.
Right.
And then straight away, people suddenly realize, oh, wow, I can fit it in. I can have those moments where things don't go perfectly right. I'm still going to progress. And it makes it easier. It's almost like that permission to use your imagination when you're in a business to see and envisage what's going to happen next. You're suddenly given someone permission to say, well, just do what you can, get as much done as you can, but set those big boulders in place so that they become points that you know you're not going to change.
Yeah, I like that analogy of having big boulders. And I think you're absolutely correct. A lot of busy professionals, career focused, they have calendars or schedules, right? And they put everything in there that they need to do or accomplish or meetings, right? So let's talk about the boulder concept though. So when I think of a boulder, that's not going to move, right? Like that's once it's there, it's there. So are you saying take the same approach with, you know, scheduling a workout or when to eat, and that just it's on your calendar and it's just an immovable object?
It's on the calendar, but if you are going to have to move it, you're not going to move it drastically.
Okay,
And it's a move. It's not a destroy. It's not a get rid of. It's not an ignore.
I think that's
the big difference. Because when you don't have it in the calendar, it's like, well, I'll fit in when I can, and I'll do meal prep potentially. And then what happens is, oh, well, I haven't managed to do it this week, so I'll just go down to the local, whatever it is, and pick up whatever they're going to get, a sandwich or something else. And then before you know it, they're all over the place. Whereas actually, when you've got these things set in the calendar, you might move it by half an hour, you might move it by an hour, you may move it by a day, but it's still there, it's still set, so that you know that's what you need to get done.
Yeah, and I love that. And I do the same thing with my calendar too. And I just create a reoccurring appointment for the gym on my calendar. And that way, it's the same thing, right, every single week. And I develop some sort of consistency. So I love that approach of scheduling as much stuff as you can on your calendar. And you mentioned a really good point too about scheduling recovery time on your calendar too. So what does that look like? What does scheduling recovery time on your calendar look like?
Crumbs, oh, there's all sorts of things you can do there. So I'm very much a proponent of making sure you turn things off and relax at least an hour before bed and things. Because again, a lot of business owners are in this kind of mentality of, you know, they've got to be working, they've got to get the next thing out.
That's 18-hour days.
It's a lot of diminishing returns, right? Because, you know, you impact your sleep day one, but that impact actually has like 2 or 3 days knock on. So by the time you've gotten to like day four, it's got so much brain fog going on that the reality is you're about 50% efficient, if that. So if you can get into a rhythm of having a really nice routine of like calming down before bed, that's a great way of doing it. Also things like, and this is an interesting thing, because we've all grown up, or most of us in the Western world have grown up, where when it comes down to celebrating success, the first thing you think of doing is going for a meal. How do you celebrate birthdays? Birthday cake, you know, all these kind of things that are all food orientated. So actually then saying, okay, well, if we're going to put lots of little goals inside this, so you've always got something to aim for, and everyone should always have a goal in life, otherwise you're going where? What's the direction? But then think, how are you going to celebrate that goal when you've achieved it? And actually put something in play that isn't necessarily a food orientated thing. And that might be, for example, going for a massage. It might be, for example, taking the missus away for a nice weekend. Mm-hmm. Just something, though, that gives you an opportunity to change.
Right. No, I think that's a really good point about how food is really tied to celebrations, right? Birthday parties, all sorts of things are tied to food. But I also think that there are other ways to reward yourself. You brought up a couple of good ones, getting a massage, going on vacation, right? Just taking some time off for yourself, I think is really important. But I do want to go back to something you talked about how a lot of busy professionals and entrepreneurs are very good at solving problems in their career. But obviously, when it comes to fitness or health, not so great, right? And a lot of people struggle with that. So why is there that disconnect between they can solve problems in their career and they're very successful at that, but then something happens and interrupts their workout schedule and it's, they're not going to do it, or they just give up?
Cool. I find it's two things. So it's basically time and knowledge. And, that, and that's it. So once you give somebody the time and the knowledge to be able to implement, and the, and when they know what they're implementing is going to work, they'll commit to it. I think the one thing with a lot of busy people is if they're not sure it's going to work, they won't necessarily commit properly because they kind of got the back of their mind. So if they've got a way that actually they can say, this definitely works, they commit to it and they commit to it quite solidly and they can follow things quite easily then. So yeah, that's the two kind of aspects I find definitely in there. You're hitting a nice one, though, with regards to solving problems. And have you ever read the book by Michael Gerber called E-Myth?
No, I haven't, no.
Well, it's a good book, worthwhile reading. He comes up with the idea of having what's known as an entrepreneurial seizure. Okay. When you first start to run your own business, and that's because you do your do better than anybody else. Yeah, your is absolutely fantastic. But as soon as you start to run a business, you suddenly realize that it's more than just doing what you know. You've now got to do things like, you know, accounts, you've got to do sales, you've got to do marketing, you've got to do operations, you've all sorts of things that are going on that are outside your area of expertise. And one of the key things that happens in successful businesses is they learn to outsource and to delegate and to bring staff in who have got that capability that they don't have. And that's where it's successful. What people don't necessarily do for their own personal lives is always bring somebody in who actually has that expertise to help them.
That's a great point, though. In the business world, it's pretty common to outsource a lot of different things. You know, there's many different things you can outsource. It's pretty common. There's always different things you can outsource so that you don't have to do it yourself. But I'd say most people, and maybe you agree or disagree with this, most people, I say the vast majority of people do not have a trainer or coach to work with. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Yeah, I think I'd definitely agree with that. And if you look at the stats, certainly around the January point, when everyone goes out and does the New Year's resolutions, how many gym memberships go unused for a year because they don't know how to use the equipment, they don't have motivation? It's because they don't have a coach or a PT or anything behind them helping them.
Yeah, and I think that is you know, obviously we're coaches and it's kind of a plug for us, but it's also about just, you know, you mentioned the knowledge piece, right? That's something that's very key. And there's a lot of information out there online if you take the time to go research. But, you know, like same thing with the business, you could go learn how to do, you know, software development, but maybe it's easier just to have a third party do it for you, right? Because there's obviously going to be that time that's going to take to learn how to do that software development, or you can just pay someone to do it. And so same thing with the trainer or coach, you could take the time to go learn, or you can just hire someone to help you give you the knowledge and give you the tools to succeed, which I think is very powerful.
Oh, absolutely. And I think in this industry, the health and lifestyle industry, there's so much knowledge out there, so much information that actually it's overwhelming. It's a bit like it's a bit like when you want to go buy jam or it's jelly into in the US. You go into the shops and you just want to buy a jar, right? It's just one jar. And they've got strawberry, raspberry, with pips, without pips, apricot, blackcurrant. Yeah. And you stood there thinking, well, I just want to buy a jar of jam. And it's the same kind of situation that I think a lot of people are in now. I mean, I know I was there for 5 years. I tried all sorts of things. You know, everything from, you know, Weight Watchers type diets, PTs, I did karate, and my daughter loved that. She got to hit me a few times. In a nice way, obviously. I even tried things like fat burning coffee, you know, and you're thinking, on the cold light of day, is that ever going to work? No, but if you're desperate, you're anything, aren't you? And that's the key thing. There's so much information out there. A lot of it is just absolute rubbish. Actually to stumble upon the right combination that actually works for you with your lifestyle, it is actually quite difficult.
Yeah, it's definitely quite difficult because everyone's going to have different needs. And going back to the values, everyone's going to have different values as well, right? So someone may have a value X, someone may have value Y, and so they're going to need different things when it comes to training and nutrition. But I do want to go back to problem solving because that's something that I think is very crucial for success. Is there an example maybe from your own time going through this or a client, like a specific problem that you helped them solve or you had to solve yourself in order to continue to see results with your health?
Okay, so I think one of the biggest problems I found, and I've found this with other clients as well, is that consistency of being able to get your keep things going. Mm-hmm. And especially when you're traveling, because as soon as you start to travel, you're out of your normal routine.
Right.
And you're not entirely sure exactly how things are going to work. But having a strategy before you travel to understand actually, you know, where is the gym? What kind of meals might you be able to have? So, for example, look at the restaurant menu beforehand, look at the hotel menu and think, think about, you know, what kind of things could you take with you that might help, or what could you get from a local store nearby that might be able to help and assist? And then have that kind of battle strategy. You know, it's a bit like, for example, in a business, you wouldn't go into doing any kind of business change without having a tactical strategy for a number of different scenarios.
Right, right.
And same for Jan. But once you get that mindset switched on, it no longer matters. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, in your home gym or in the gym at your local center, or whether you're in a hotel, a luxury hotel gym with all the equipment, like if you're in, I think one of the gyms I went to in Bucharest, it literally was almost like homemade. It was like scaffolding by the ceiling. But you make it work for you, because you kind of understand what it is, what's the mechanics behind your body, how does it work, what it is that you're trying to really achieve, and then you make that work.
Yeah, and that's a great point about the planning, and you brought up a great example with travel, because that's really, really a lot of people travel for work. And I know me personally, when I travel, I always see if they have a hotel gym, and I look at pictures, see what it's like. Can I get a workout in? Or is there a gym nearby that I can go to? Because I have access to different gyms. But to me, that's normal, right? Like that's just something that because it's a priority for me. And so I take that in consideration. Mm. But I like how you went a step further of even looking at the hotel menu or seeing what restaurants are nearby. And I think that planning piece is really crucial. But you probably also would agree that that's also a skill that you have to kind of have to develop, right?
Yeah, definitely. And half of it is just knowing to do it, because most people wouldn't even think about it. Mm-hmm. And same with, for example, even on things like if you are staying in a hotel, if they don't have something that's specific on your menu, just ask for something different. And most people don't realize you can ask for things that are not on the menu. And most hotels are actually really nice and they do help you. So yeah, there's all sorts of things you can do there. And if worst comes to the worst, and you're in an area where you know you're not going to get a good gym or anything, then invest in taking a set of resistance bands with you, because you can do a pretty good workout with a set of resistance bands in your hotel room and a set of stairs and things. And they don't take a lot of space up. So it can be almost like your emergency backup piece just in case.
Right. Now, that's a great point about the resistance bands. I have a set of those and they're fantastic because they're really transportable. But I want to go back to the planning piece, because that is really crucial. And planning does take time, right? It does take time and effort and a little bit of knowledge, right? That's also something like you mentioned that a business does, or you do in your career, or your project manager you're going to plan, your entrepreneur you're going to plan, your manager you're going to plan. So that's just a normal part of business. So why is it so different or difficult for people to take that and go, okay, I need to also plan for this other thing?
Yeah, and I think that's come back down to the knowledge more than anything else, because it's like a lot of things. You can only really recognize things within your own frame of reference. Mm-hmm. So if you understand the topic, you understand what's needed, then you will put things around that. And it's like, if you imagine that, remember the first time you went on holiday without your parents?
And you had
to do everything yourself, and how difficult it was, you know, trying to work out flights or transport or hotels, etc. And then yet today you'll do it and probably won't even think about it that much.
Right.
It's done. And the hardest choice was actually agreeing with the missus where you want to go. And certainly is in my house anyway. Yeah. And it's the same when you're doing this for yourself. If you think you know what you're doing, you're only planning the things that you think you know. Mm-hmm. And a little knowledge can sometimes be dangerous, because then you'll think you're doing the right thing, and actually you might be doing completely the wrong thing.
Yeah, that's a good point. A little bit of knowledge can be dangerous, depending on what that knowledge is. But yeah, I think that speaking on the travel piece again, a lot of business people travel. Especially, I think travel is coming back now. A lot of people are going to be on the road, and you know, obviously, travel is a huge interruption. But like how you mentioned that planning is going to be crucial. And there are a lot of different ways to still, you know, prioritize your health while you're traveling. But again, it does take a little effort. I'm sure you help your clients kind of work through that when they travel. But I do want to take some time to talk about your program or how people can reach you. So how can people reach you if they have more information on social media or your website?
Yeah, fantastic. No, that'd be lovely. I mean, if people want to reach me on things like Facebook or on Instagram, you can reach out on Martin Sharp UK or Sharp Fit for Life. And just connect up, say hello. It'd be like, lovely to hear from people. Always happy to answer questions and things. And yeah, it'd be great to see you there.
Awesome. Yeah, I think it was really good having this discussion on how busy professionals can fit fitness in their life. Because like you said, it's a growing problem, right? And I think we both want to help as much as we can. So I'm glad I got a chance to talk to you about this because you dropped a lot of really great nuggets that people will be able to implement in their lives. So I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. No, absolutely. And you're right. It's about how we can help and serve other people and hopefully, you know, tackle the obesity crisis in our own little way.
Yeah, we'll, you know, chip away in our own little way. All right, so that wraps up today's episode. And thank you very much for listening. And make sure to check out Martin on the social media links in the podcast notes. And if you're a fan of the show, please do remember to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and to leave a review if you enjoy listening. Until next episode, take care of yourselves. And remember, the best project you'll ever work on is you.